Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Amazingly, our dear Muslim friends always say they believe in the prophets. And if you give them the name of Prophet Ezekiel, they will tell you, we do not have a clue who is that Ezekiel. But when you read some verses of the Quran, and I say ambiguous verses with hardly any information, the scholars of Islam will introduce a new prophet by the name Ezekiel for the Muslim people. So in general, they do not know anything about Ezekiel. But if they are so smart and they're studying the fabrication of Muslim scholar, for sure they know of who is Prophet Ezekiel. And today we're going to look at Quran chapter 2 and verse 243 to learn about Prophet Ezekiel. For in the Quran we read, have you not seen those go forth from their homes, and they are thousands for fear of death? So Allah said to them, die. Then he brought them to life. Surely Allah is bountiful to people, but most people do not give thanks. Notice that that verse is not taken out of context. That's everything we need to know about this particular story. When you read that verse, maybe 10 times, you'll not understand what in the world Allah is talking about. And that is the beauty of the Quran. But if you read Muslim scholars' interpretation, surprise, surprise, they bring a full understanding for that verse. So now let me read to you what the scholars of Islam said about that verse. They said, there was a village by the name Darudan, in which there was a plague. So 10,000 people came out of it. But other Muslim scholars said, no, there were actually 70,000 people. But the scholars disagree again, and they said, well, there were more than 10,000 people. Don't you love that? When the Quran does not give us any number, Muhammad did not know any number, but somehow Muslim scholars disagree about the number. There were 10,000, there were 70,000, or more than 10,000. Wow, what a great scholarly work. And anyway, so those people came out of it. Why? Because they don't want to die with this plague. But some of them stayed in their own houses anyway. So the people who left the house were saved. They did not die. But all those who stayed in their homes, they die with the plague. But somehow, miraculously, Allah causes all those who escape the city, the 10,000 or the 70,000 or those who were more than 10,000. Wow. Somehow Allah causes all of them to die. And then Prophet Ezekiel, son of Buzi. First of all, Muslim scholars do not know the name Ezekiel from the Quran. And now they know the name of his father to be Buzi. How in the world did he come up with the name of the prophet and his father? The answer is very simple. They went to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1 and verse 3. Anyway, and then they assured us which one Ezekiel is, because he was the third successor for the children of Israel. The third successor. I never even heard the word successor except when we talk about Muslim successors who came after Muhammad. But somehow, the scholars of Islam made Prophet Ezekiel the third successor. Now, is he the third successor after Adam? Or the third successor after Moses? Or the third successor after who knows what? But you just have to move on. Keep going, because we're really enjoying the great interpretation of Muslim scholars. That Prophet Ezekiel, son of Buzi, was traveling by, and he saw all their bones. And the bones were separated from each other. So he stood up there and he was wondering. So Allah revealed to Prophet Ezekiel, son of Buzi, and told him to call for the bones to rise, to come back to life by the will of Allah. So he called the bones. So all those bones came to life. And they all said, how great Allah is. And with his praise, we praise. There is no God except you. Wow. Do you see? A verse did not say anything about Ezekiel. A verse did not say anything about how many died or how many lived. We do not even know who died or who lived, but somehow the great Muslim scholars were able to introduce Prophet Ezekiel in that one ambiguous verse for Muslim scholars to believe in such a story. Now, what was the purpose of Muhammad to insert that verse in the Quran? It's very simple. Muhammad was trying to encourage and challenge the Muslim believers to go out and perform jihad for the sake of Allah. You see, if you stay at home, you're going to die. If you go out, you're going to live. But even if you die and Allah desire for you to come back to life, you will come back to life. So the whole idea is to submit to Allah that He will judge in Muslim believers' life. But is this true according to the teaching of the Bible? So if we go to the book of Ezekiel, a book of Ezekiel? Yes, indeed. A whole book is called the book of Ezekiel, where we have in it 47 chapters. Imagine with me, my dear wonderful listeners, Allah in the Quran summarize 47 chapters, and the verse did not even mention the name Ezekiel or any information from which we can learn something. But in the first 14 verses of Ezekiel chapter 37, we read about the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones. And by the way, if you read the scripture very carefully, you'll find out that during the life of Ezekiel the prophet, there was not people who ran from their homes. Not 10,000, not 70,000, not more than 10,000, as Muslim scholars disagree. As a matter of fact, there was no plague at all, as Muslim scholars claim in their fabrication to interpret Quran chapter 2 and verse 243. Add to that, God did not cause anybody to die, and Prophet Ezekiel did not raise anybody from the dead. I know some people read that passage and they think, huh, man, that's a miracle. All these bones came back to life. No. That is not a miracle Prophet Ezekiel performed, as we're going to see a little bit later. The fact is that God ordered Prophet Ezekiel to go to an area of land which is filled with bones, and that he may prophesy for these bones that they will come back to life, and that may God put on these bones muscles, flesh, and cover them with skin. Then he will put spirits in them and they will live. So Prophet Ezekiel did that. While he was prophesying, there was a sound and there was a shake, and the bones came together, and the bones was covered with muscles and flesh. Then they were covered with skin, and the spirit came on them. So God ordered Prophet Ezekiel to prophesy again, so the spirit will come into these bones, and they stood up on their feet, a strong, great army. This is simply a vision. It did not actually occur. So God told Prophet Ezekiel that these bones are the house of Israel, and they are saying that our bones are dry, our hope has perished. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, here I am. I will open your graves and I will get you out of your graves, O my people. I will bring you to the land of Israel and I will make my spirit in you so you will live. The purpose of that vision, it is to bring revival to the hearts of the children of Israel, to bring their hopes back to life after hopelessness took over their life when they were taken to captivity between the rivers. So God described their case like dead dry bones, which were spread all over the valley. They did not have any hope to come back to the promised land, to where they used to be politically and religiously, that they may become a one nation one more time. But God taught them from that chapter that nothing is impossible for Him. Everything is possible before God. He is the one who is able to bring the bones to life, and He is the one who is able to bring them back from their captivities to the promised land. And all what we have to do is to believe in Him and to trust His truthful promises. That is the whole purpose of the vision which Prophet Ezekiel received from God in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 to 14.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad.
Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now let's move on to Quran chapter 2, verses 246 and 247, under the title, The Children of Israel Ask for a King. For there we read, Have you not seen the gathering of the children of Israel after Moses? When they said to a prophet for them, Send to us a king. We will engage in war for the sake of Allah. He said, Would it be that you would not go to war if engaging in war is decreed for you? They said, And why should we not engage in war for the sake of Allah? And indeed, we and our children are driven forth from our homes. So when the engaging in war was decreed to them, they turned back, except for a few of them. And Allah knows the unjust. In verse 247 we read, And the prophet said to them, Surely Allah has sent Talut as a king to you. They said, How can the kingdom be to him over us when we are more worthy of the kingdom than him? And he has no abundance of money. He said, Surely Allah has chosen him over you and has given him increased in knowledge and stature. And Allah gives his kingdom to whom he wills, and Allah is large knowing. Now, when you read these two verses like every other verse of the Quran, you'll not have a clue who is talking to who, where, when, and how these verses taking place. You cannot understand the Quran by reading the Quran. Trust me. I know that Allah in the Quran declares so many times that it's pure Arabic, easy to understand. But the reality is the Quran is a very ambiguous book where you could not understand whatever Allah is talking about, even when the stories are copied from the Bible. Because simply, not only Muhammad copied the stories of the Bible, but he corrupted the stories of the Bible in his writing to the Quran. So what do we have here? He's talking about the gathering of the children of Israel after Moses. Well, how many years after Moses? We all know about Moses, and Moses died. So what happened? Was it immediately after Moses? From reading the Quran, it's just, this is what it is. Moses died and they got together and say, hey, we need a king. So they went to a prophet of them. Now, which prophet? Do we have a name for the prophet? And they ask him to send a king? If you're talking about King Saul, which Muhammad changed his name in that passage here, and he made it Talut, which is the wrong name in Arabic, is Shaul. Not Talut, but Shaul. That took place literally 400 years after Moses died. So the children of Israel sat together, they gathered together for 400 years, waiting for some prophet to show up, which we do not know what is his name, and then they asked the prophet to have a king over them. What Muhammad is missing is two simple books in the Bible, the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. Because that is 400 years of history as the children of Israel moved on from Moses to Prophet Samuel, which Muhammad did not know his name. Or we can say Allah and Jibreel did not know his name. So they went to a prophet for them. That prophet, his name is Samuel, 400 years after Moses. Okay, let's move on. Then they ask their prophet to appoint a king over them. And the reason the children of Israel ask their prophet to appoint a king, Muslim scholar stated, that Amalek, who lived in the valley between Egypt and Philistine, did engage in war against Israel, and they took their homes, and they took their children as concubines, and they took the sons of the king, 440, as prisoners of war. And that is the interpretation of the word of Allah in the Quran. We and our children are driven forth from our homes. But listen to the answer of the prophet. He is so concerned about them that they may ask for a king to lead them in wars. And if the king asks him to engage in war with him, and then they change their mind. Wow. So why the children of Israel want a king? So they can fight. And the prophet, which we do not know who he is worried about if the king comes and they will not fight. And this is exactly what we read in the rest of the verses. He said, would it be that you would not go to war if engaging in war is decreed for you? The children of Israel said, and why should we not engage in war for the sake of Allah? And indeed, we and our children are driven forth from our homes. Muhammad loved that phrase, because he even used it for himself when he asked the Muslims in his day to engage in war with the infidels of Mecca. Why? Because they and their children were kicked out of Mecca. No, that's not true. That's what Muslims always say. Because actually Muhammad left Mecca by his free will. And all those who left before him, the 40-some members, they left by their free will. First, they went to Ethiopia, a Christian country in Africa, and then they came back to Mecca, and then from Mecca, they went to a Jewish community by the name Yathrib, which Muhammad later took it by the edge of the sword, and he renamed it to Medina. But somehow, Muhammad liked that phrase. Why don't we fight? We and our children were kicked out of our homes. But when you read the scripture during Samuel the prophet, you see that neither the children of Israel nor their children were kicked out of their homes by Amalek, as Muslim scholars claim. But there was actually war between the children of Israel and the Philistinians, who took the Ark of the Covenant. And we can read about that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the truth is that the children of Israel were living in their homes when they asked Prophet Samuel to appoint for them a king. Amazingly, the prophet was right, because Talut was chosen for them to be a king over them. That is the wrong name. Once again, his name is Shaul, not Talut. But when that prophet told the children of Israel that here Allah chose for you Talut, he meant Saul, or Shaul in Arabic, they rejected that king. They did not like King Talut. Why? They said, how can the kingdom be to him over us when we are more worthy of the kingdom than him? Excuse me, I thought Saul or Talut, Shaul in Arabic, was a Jew. So why the children of Israel rejected a king who is a Jew to be over them if they were asking for a king? Doesn't make any sense, does it? And once again, that is not what is written in the Bible. For in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 24 we read, and Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people? So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. That is the opposite of what Allah said in the Quran. Then we continue to read in the Quran, and he has no abundance of money. Oh, Saul was poor. And I wonder, how in the world did Muhammad come up with the idea that Saul is a poor? Oh, you know what? I know why. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, when Saul was searching for his father's donkeys, and he and one of his servants were searching for his father's donkeys, and after a while, they decided to go back home in case his father is more worried about him than the donkeys. And guess what? His servant told him, here in this town, the man of God, let's go and ask him. He will help us, and he will tell us where are the donkeys. But then Saul told his servant, "How can we speak to the man of God without giving him a gift?" That's not that Saul was poor, but simply because after these few days of searching for his father's donkey, he ran out of food and money and anything to offer the man of God. Obviously, from this passage, Muhammad misunderstood by claiming that Saul was a poor man from a poor family. Wow, what a great error. The prophet told the children of Israel, "Allah has chosen him over you and has given him increase in knowledge and stature." And I have no idea where did Muhammad come up with this knowledge. If you're talking about more knowledge, I think I go for King Solomon, not for King Saul. As for the size, I know he was taller than anybody else. Everyone else only came up to his shoulder. And then the prophet ended by saying, "And Allah gives his kingdom to whom he wills. And Allah is large knowing." Yes, indeed, Allah is large knowing, but he knew nothing about King Saul, nor Prophet Samuel, nor the true history of the children of Israel. As for the rejection of the children of Israel for Saul to be king over them, we read about that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27. "But some rebels said, 'How can this man save us?' So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace." Once again, here we see that the Quran is empty verses, empty words without details. Only when Muslim scholars fabricate an interpretation and introduce biblical stories from these empty verses. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.